Hey Tishrei, Monday the 29th of September, Rabbi Aaron Jacobson, making a sukkah, getting it right.
Good morning. To everybody. Being just a week away from sukkah, see, when Woody asked me to speak, I said, I'll speak on Motzei Yom Kippur. Meanwhile, everybody's busy with shuvahs. He says people do have some time to think about sukkahs as well. So probably better to do it earlier rather than once the sukkah's up. So those who've been learning with the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah program have had this course. The way it's worked out is that the subject matter that we've been learning has tied in very much with the Yomim Tovim that have been coming up. We may have to juggle around a little bit for Chanukah and Purim, but more or less it works out that it's pretty much in line with the Yomim Tovim. And having gone through the Halachas of Sukkah recently, there's certain things that were that came to me as a surprise, that you can get a sukkah, you can make a sukkah, it looks kosher, but it can even be not kosher very easily. So I'd like to go through, as much as the time allows. I made for myself a list of about 11 or 12 different things, but I don't know how much time will allow, to discuss a few issues that come up. Some people may know about already, please excuse me, and others may be chidushim, and even if they are what you know already, even just to go over it is a chidush itself, getting it clear. Okay, one which everybody knows about, but I want to bring out a Mishnah Berurah, is that when you put on the schach, let's put it this way, somebody came to the Rav, there's a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that says that when Yom Tov comes in, one should make sure that the roof is open, that the Kedusha of the Chag should be Chal on the Sukkah. So somebody came to the Rav, and he said, oh, he's very sorry thing, what should he do? He forgot to open the Sukkah roof, does it matter? In the discussion with the Rav, it transpired that he'd never yet opened his Sukkah roof at all since he'd made the Sukkah, even while he put the Schach on. And in Simen Tov Reish Chavov, it says like this, the Mechaber speaks about, what the Mechaber is speaking about, is somebody who builds a sukkah inside his house, and he then removes the roof afterwards. And there's a discussion whether it's okay. The Mechaber says that it could be possible, because of Tase v'lo min ha'asui, because a sukkah has to be built, Tase, it has to be built in its kosher state. It can't become kosher afterwards. The same, there's certain mitzvahs, there are a few mitzvahs, sukkah, mezuzah, tzitzis, that have to be taseh v'lo min ha'asui, they have to be made in the first instance in a way that it is kosher. And therefore, if you make your sukkah and then you afterwards do external trappings to make it kosher, that doesn't make it kosher. So for example, you build your sukkah in your house and then you remove the roof, that doesn't make it kosher. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, now that's not 100% exact what I've said just now, because in fact if a person would build a sukkah in his house and he then remove the roof, or go to the great extent to remove the roof, then it could be kosher. That's because a machlek is bach on the Magen Avraham. According to the Magen Avraham, it's kosher because the very fact that you're taking off the roof, that itself is considered a significant action enough to consider that you're making it bekasherus. And according to so the Bach says another reason. The Bach says that a sukkah which is made at home is usually not a proper sukkah. It's not a sturdy sukkah, and therefore with removing the roof, you haven't done anything because the sukkah wasn't a sturdy sukkah. Implying perhaps if it was a sturdy sukkah, it could be okay. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but, and this is what's important here, but just to open a roof, which is a hinged roof, or these opening roofs that we have, that's not considered to be a significant enough action, and therefore if a person builds his sukkah at home, and then he opens the roof afterwards, the sukkah has not become kosher. In fact, it was made b'psul, it was made in a way that's not kosher, because the way schach has to be made is there has to be, they get the thing that protects between you and the sky. So being that the case, you have made the sukkah in a way that's not kosher, and therefore it's possible, and just opening the roof is not a way to make it kosher. So that's something that can happen very often. that a person can make a sukkah, forget to open the roof while he's making it, or not think it's significant to make the sukkah, open the roof while he makes it. And the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tov Reish Chaf Vav, Sifkaton Yud Ches, says that it's possible.
What about this raining then? It's raining all the way through until Erev Yom Tov.
No. So while you're making your sukkah, you have to open your roof. Because
you
even if
say
it's raining.
While it's raining, you're making your sukkah. It's not
clear. Oh, right. Oh, sorry. If while you're raining it makes your sukkah, that doesn't make a difference. Because at the moment you're not doing mitzvah sukkah, at the time that you're... It's a good point. Let me just explain the difference between what Graham is raising and actually what we're discussing here. And that is like this. A sukkah, the schach, has to be the thing that is your roof between where you're sitting and Shamayim. That's where it has to be. The fact that when it rains in, you can't be mekayim mitzvah sukkah, that's because there's a halacha in Hilchas Sukkah that a person has to be basukis teshvu shavas yom, you have to sit comfortably in a sukkah. And if it's raining, it's mitzvah, you're not comfortable in a sukkah. Now, when you lay the schach, you're not being mekayim mitzvah sukkah that time. You're not actually fulfilling the mitzvah. What you're doing is you're preparing it, you're building it. Now, at that time, it really doesn't matter if you get wet. Hopefully you'll be get wet then and not on sukkahs. So, at that time, as long as you've placed the schach in a way that it is your roof then, between then and then, even though it's pouring then, it's perfectly okay. But if because of the rain you decide to put the schach on and with the roof closed, then you have an issue. Now what happens if you actually did do that? Is Mishnah Berurah says, and this is something that's relevant really to any time that you've made your schach in a way that it's not 100% okay, simple eitzah, says the Mishnah Berurah what you have to do, and this is why I'm bringing this one as the first one, because here the Mishnah Berurah spells it out. Mishnah Berurah in Tafresh Chavav, Sivkot and Yudches spells out that what one has to do is, Sheyagbia kol eitz levadoi, one has to pick up each individual bit of schach, v'yachzer v'yanichena l'shem tzel, he should put it down again, as for the mitzvah, for either for shade or for the mitzvah of sukkah, he should put it down, place it for the mitzvah of sukkah, for shade. Okay. What Mr. Locke and what your Rabbi Locke and what your whatever you wanna however you wanna be known as and exactly. And are pointing out is that there is a well-known halacha that if you've got a sukkah from a year to year, then all you need to do is be mechadesh badava. All you need to do is just pick up one little area of the schach and shake it. And that is a halacha brought in Siman Tov Reish Lamed Zayin, if I'm not mistaken. Tov Reish Lamed Vav. Tov Reish Lamed Vav, that sukkah yeshana, an old sukkah, is principally kosher. All one has to do is pick up one tefach by one tefach of it to make it kosher. Now that the idea of that is to be mechadesh badava, to demonstrate that the sukkah which you've had from years ago or from last year is a kosher sukkah for this year. And therefore all one needs to do is in one area, one has to do a chidush, put something new. Put new schach on in one tefach by a tefach, pick up the schach in one tefach by a tefach, do something like that in one small area of the sukkah. But that must not be confused, and people do confuse this, must not be confused to a situation where the whole schach is possible. In a situation where the whole schach is possible, then one has to make the whole schach kosher. Now it's not just good enough then to do one little area. Then, in order to make the schach kosher, every single piece of the schach has to be made kosher. And therefore, if a person has a sukkah which has been lying there from year to year, and he just wants to use it for sukkahs, didn't actually check this up again, but he speaks about this. Just let me check this up then. The sukkah imedes mitchil mishana l'shana. A sukkah which has been made from one year to the next, which is very possible. A person has their sukkah there, and they've got their schach lying there. After mitchila asar l'shem chag, even though it was originally made for sukkahs, kiven she'ofer achag bot l'asiya, seeing as your last yom tov is finished, the whole asiya is finished, or k'moshe kasam morgan avram, and therefore He says the Mishnah Berurah tzorich lechadesh ba'davar. It's got a din of a sukkah yeshana, and all you need to do is move a tefach by a tefach. That's if it's an old sukkah. If it's a sukkah that's been placed in lechatchila in a way that's not kosher, as we first just discussed just now, every bit of schach has to be moved. Okay, that's the first example.
Why don't you need each one again?
Because even though it's batla the chiddush that you've got. But in the end of the day, it was placed for sale. It was placed for shade, and therefore it's not been placed in a way that's not kosher. Whereas if you put the sukkah in a way where the roof is closed, you haven't placed it for shade, and therefore it has to be completely remade and redone. What happens with the eved in this particular case? That you forgot to open the roof, you forgot also to shake your schach. What should you do? So the Kafa Chaim, they bring here the Dirshu notes, they bring here from the Kafa Chaim, seeing as it's, I don't want to get too complicated, but seeing as it, this particular din is a chumrah, because there's a machloikus about this. According to the Bach, it could be kosher, and according to other poiskim, it could be kosher. Therefore, there is what to rely on, and even to make a bracha in this situation. Obviously, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, the Rav will probably tell you to pick up every bit of schach to be yetzer according to all of this. Okay, that's the first example which could be a problem. The second one is, I would like to discuss pop-up sukkahs and then indoor sukkah issues. Pop-up sukkahs are probably more well-known, the problems of them, but nevertheless, probably could die. At least if a person does have one, at least he should know what their issues are, and how very easily you can have a pasul sukkah and how you can have a kosher sukkah just as easily. What is the problem with these flimsy sukkahs? The Machaber in Siman Tov Reish Lamed Sif Yud. The Machaber speaks about a mechitza, the flaps in the wind. A mechitza, the flaps in the wind, is not considered to be a mechitza. So you might think that if I put it in a shaded, sheltered area where it's not going to flap, it's not a problem. The Mishnah Berurah says that it doesn't make a difference whether it is in a sheltered area or whether not. If it could flap in a ruach matsuya, if it could flap in a standard wind, in a normal wind which is in that area, it is considered to be a mechitza, which is an unsuitable mechitza, and therefore is no good. Now, the Mishnah Berurah is particularly stringent. The Chazon Ish is a little bit more makel on this. The Chazon Ish holds that if it flaps within three tefachim of itself, that's still considered good enough. That means when you hold the material, if it's sort of held on the sides, but within itself it moves within three tefachim, the Chazon Ish holds that's okay. But the Mishnah Berurah is extremely, extremely stringent about it. Even if it flaps slightly, the Mishnah Berurah holds, it's unsuitable. So that presents a very big problem for making these pop-up sukkahs or canvas sukkahs. So in the history of their development, the first years they made them, they just made these canvas sukkahs, and then issues were raised because of this Mishnah Berurah that it doesn't help you. So what they did subsequent to that was they made bars, or they gave you instructions to put string, tight string, around the bottom, three or four rows of string, along the bottom. The idea that if you have, there's a halacha called lavud, that means if you've got two strings within three tefachim of each other, it's considered halachically joined. So if you build that up to the height of 10 tefachim, then as long as you've got a wall of 10 tefachim, it's a mishnah. If you've got a wall of 10 tefachim, then if you extend the schach upwards, you can extend the walls upwards with a halacha called good asik, that it's considered as if the wall continues straight upwards. Halachically, it's considered as if the wall is completely there, even though the wall only stops at 10 tefachim. So with four strings, you've got a wall. So like that, you're really disregarding your canvas, and you've got your three walls like that. So the Rechayra, that's a very simple eitzah to get around the problem of a canvas sukkah. The thing is, this year, for the first time, I came across this a few times. The problem is that the Magen Avraham brings, which is mentioned a few times by the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham in his introduction to Siman Tov Reish Lamed, so spells out the following thing. And he says that, just very briefly, Chazal say that in order to make a kosher sukkah, you need two walls and a bit. Two, and the third wall is a little bit. Very famously, though. The Magen Avraham asks, there's a Gemara in Daf Zayin that says that you can build a sukkah with similar to Shabbos. And that just like on Shabbos, if you've got a railed-in area, somebody's got a front garden, where all they have is posts, poles, within three tvachim of each other, even though the majority is open, but nevertheless it's considered a walled area, because as long as the poles are within three tvachim of each other, that's called a fence. A fence doesn't have to be hermetically sealed. A fence in Hilchas Shabbos just needs to be, each pole is within three tvachim of each other, that's called sealed. Being that the case, ask the Magen Avraham, why did Chazal have to go through such difficulties of saying two and a bit walls? You've got a very simple answer. Just build up poles of within three tvachim of each other. Says the Magen Avraham, and this is something that's going to come across, there's a few places like this, that Hilchas Sukkah is more stricter than Hilchas Shabbos. And there's a few places like this, and perhaps the Magen Avraham doesn't give a rationale, but the Ram gives them a rationale. And that is, for example, if you've got, I'll just give you an example of what the Ram speaks about. If you've got a post, an elevated platform, and this elevated platform is more than 10 tefachim high, then on Hilchas Shabbos, as far as Hilchas Shabbos is concerned, you don't need any further walls. This platform is elevated, and therefore you can carry within this platform. When I was in, the first time I came across this, I was in Shari Torah Yeshiva. So when you come to, anybody who's been to Manchester Shari Torah Yeshiva, the whole front garden is elevated from the street quite significantly. And the first Shabbos I was there, people were all carrying in the front garden there. So I asked them why. So he says, well, can't you see that it's elevated, but where's the wall? No, there's a halacha that if it's elevated, because there's a drop. 10 tefachim, that's good enough. Now, could you build a sukkah on that basis? That means you've got an elevated platform of 10 tefachim, and you just put four poles up on top and suspend your schach on top of there. You need walls? Well, I've got my walls. They're elevated platforms. So, kudasik. So, the Gemara says it's no good. And the Ran says the reason why it's no good is because you need by a sukkah mechitzei se'a nikeres. You need to have clear mechitzes. And the pshat I once heard, a beautiful pshat, and a very clear pshat, is basukah is teishvu shivas yom. A person got to dwell in a sukkah. Now it's one thing to have an elevated area being considered to be a separate rishus. Fair enough. But to say that I could dwell in this situation, would I feel comfortable sitting here and saying, you know, there's lomdish mechitzas over here, so now I could sit over here comfortably without people watching me? You don't feel comfortable like that. It's not considered to be a house. A sukkah, a house, a dwelling place, has to have a certain amount of privacy to it to be considered a dwelling place. And the same goes, perhaps, even though the Magen Avraham doesn't explain that, but the same goes over here. The Magen Avraham says that lavud, like this, for Hilchas Sukkah, doesn't work. He says, if you'd have lavud all four walls, then he says it does work. But if you've just got three walls of lavud, he says that's insufficient, it's not considered good enough for Hilchas Sukkah. Now that makes a very big problem, because anybody who's seen a canvas sukkah, you don't have to really think much about it, but to imagine this, that if you'd put string all four walls round, then you'd have to be quite agile to be able to get into this sukkah. And therefore, obviously, the walls you will only put three walls round these strings. So if you've got a canvas sukkah and you've only put three walls round this string, according to the Magen Avraham, you have not got a sukkah, a kosher sukkah. So, how have you solved the problem by putting string on?
Lavud four walls is good, right?
Lavud four walls is good, because he's got a good... Because that we learn out from Hilchas Shabbos. But he says, we'll only learn out from Hilchas Shabbos, azayvait, yeah, migu. He learns out, but he says it only works for the minimum chiddush. And that is four walls.
But on your spur of teshuva...
Yes, you're right. Yeah, 100%. 100%. I know, I'm asking, but it doesn't... I said it's just I'm borrowing the example. It doesn't actually for 100%. But what I wanted to show is that we are more machmir in the mechitzas of Hilchas Sukkah than we are in the mechitzas of Hilchas Shabbos. Even though there are certain aspects that there are kulas, but like for Shabbos it's not good enough two and a bit walls. But as far as the quality of the mechitza is concerned in Hilchas Sukkah, we are generally more machmir, and I gave one example with perhaps a reason why you need to have it. But it needs to be more of a mechitza that you need for Hilchas Sukkah than you need for Hilchas Shabbos.
So now, in the olden days, everybody lived in canvas tents, and certainly in the time of the of the Midbar, they lived in canvas or cloth buildings.
Okay, so how are you going to make your cloth building kosher? So I'm going to give you three suggestions how to make it okay. Number one, the Sharatzi and Sivkot Mem test says that if it's tied down very, very firmly, so then even though the Machaber is unhappy with that, because the Machaber is concerned that it will come untied, as he says clearly in Sivkot Yud, but coupled to that, if you're going to add to that the fact that you've put these three mechitzas of Lavud, says the Mishnah Berurah in Sharatzi and Sivkot Mem Tes, he says, I didn't mention what the Magen Avraham says, what the Magen Avraham says in his Hakdama to Siv Aleph, that it's no good on four sides, because seeing as Me'ikir Adin, it's already kosher because it's tight, but you've got to really have it tight. That means you're going to pull it tight, and so if you've got some Velcro, which I think they come with nowadays, you pull it underneath and pull it tight, then it won't flap at all. Plus, you put on these three, so then you've taken care. The reason why the Mechaber is unhappy with it is because maybe it'll come undone. So therefore, that way you've taken care of it. That's one suggestion. Another suggestion is that on the fourth side, you very, very simply put a Tzuras HaPesach there. Now that's not very difficult. It sounds difficult. It's not very difficult. These things all come with a frame. All you need to make sure is that the top bar actually goes across on top of the two buckles. They usually don't, because it usually slips into the side. But all you need is a little bit of tape on top, and you've already solved the problem of a Tzuras HaPesach. A Tzuras HaPesach has to run on top of the two beams. So if you, all you need is for running on top, all you need is something, a little piece of wood, or even just a little bit of tape, we'll consider it to be a Tzuras HaPesach. And then the fourth side is taken care of, and on that the Magen Avraham wasn't Machmeh, because the Magen Avraham was only Machmeh if you just had an open third side.
Can you do all four sides Tzuras HaPesach?
No, you cannot do. Again, that's something we're more Machmeh about in Hilchas Sukkah than in Hilchas Shabbos. Hilchas Shabbos, if you've got all four sides of Tzuras HaPesach, it's kasha. Hilchas Sukkah, you have to build two and a bit walls. If you build three walls with a Tzuras HaPesach, it's no good. Now, there isn't that much time, but I want to therefore go straight into Sukkah issues at home. If you're building if you have a built-in Sukkah, what issues there can be, and I'm going to mention this issue straight away. And that is, a Sukkah needs to be, a Hilchas Sukkah has to be built proper walls. You cannot have Tzuras HaPesach for the main primary walls. The Gemara says that for the extensions, you can have a Tzuras HaPesach. But for the primary walls, you cannot have a Tzuras HaPesach. Now, where would you have that? That's very, very possible. For example, a person has, which a lot of people do, have their built-in sukkah in the extension of the house, which has a patio door going out to the garden. Now, you open that patio door, you're relying on the Tzuras HaPesach for the duration of the time that the patio door is open. Yeah, yeah. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that that's a problem, therefore, to open such a patio door on Sukkos. Again, somebody who has such a situation, it's complex and there isn't time really to go into each and individual situation, but somebody who does should really check up with his Rav exactly what his sukkah, the shape of his sukkah is, how his sukkah is built, to make sure that this isn't an issue. Because one has to have two and a bit walls, which are proper two and a bit walls. If they are walls which are using Tzuras HaPesach, then they can potentially cause a problem in a number of issues. First of all, the very fact that it could be during that time not a kosher sukkah. That could be number one. Number two, another issue could be as follows. Very often, people don't have a full three walls. So what do? They use two walls, and the third wall is another smaller wall, and the rest of the sukkah then continues, and that's okay, because as long as you've got one longer wall that carries on further, then the rest of the schach is all kosher, because of a rule called psol hayotze min ha-sukkah nidn kesukkah. Any schach that extends from a sukkah is kasha, that's brought in Simon Tov Reish Lamed Aleph Sif Zayin, the Machaber says, as long as the wall continues, that's kasha. Now, the Levush mentioned in Tov Reish Lamed in the Sharatzian, in the beginning of Tov Reish Lamed, Sifgatan Beis, the Levush says that you only say Psal Hayotze where you've got proper walls. But if you don't have proper walls, and you want to rely on lombisher walls, you want to use walls, you know, two and a bit, and then there's sort of a little post, and then it's a Tzeres Pesach, you want to, you don't want to have proper walls, then, he says, you can only sit in the kashas, in the schach section, if you have at least a Tzeres Pesach. That means, you don't need much, but you need to know about this, you need to have two little sticks on the side with a little string across the top, which extends to the full extent that the sukkah is extended to. Now, therefore, that can present a very simple problem. Somebody can be sitting in the sukkah, and now you're sitting, now you're not. Now you're sitting, now you're not. You open the door of your patio, so you're using a Tzeres HaPesach to make your sukkah kosher. So therefore, we won't say Psal HaYotze for that extent bit. So the people sitting in that part of the sukkah are no longer sitting in the sukkah. You close the door. The sukkah is, again, a proper sukkah, and built with proper walls, so now the person's sitting in the sukkah. So you can have... But the, Sorry, Rav Shlomo Zalman says it's a problem to open and close on Yom Tov, of building a mechitza. Yesh lachker. I spoke to Ramadcha about this, Ramadcha Eisner about this. Yesh lachker, where you actually haven't got a sukkah, there are situations, like I said, where if you open your patio door, then you're relying on a Tzeres HaPesach for the main body of the sukkah, and it could make the sukkah possible. Then there's much more serious issues to close the door. But where your sukkah is principally kosher, but you're relying, the people at the other end of the table are relying on the extension, so there, in that case, is it considered that you're actually making a wall, or is the sukkah principally kosher, and all you're doing is just allowing them to rely on this halach of salayetze? I don't know whether that would be a problem to open or close, but one has to be aware and ask a shayla about this. Another thing which is a problem is, I think people are not aware of this, to use good asik and dofen akuma, people are aware that you can't do. That means, very often, let's say a person has a built-in sukkah, so they have two walls, and the third wall they use, let's say, a board, or they use the kitchen counter as the third wall. It goes up 10 tefachim, and they use that. Now, besides, there could be one or two issues there. First of all, if directly on top of it you haven't got kosher schach, and not within four tefachim, so therefore it's sort of the wall comes up and your schach is further away. Now, normally speaking, if a wall carries on, goes up and carries on, then you can say a very famous rule called Deifen Akoma, that until 4 amas, which is approximately, even your machme is 1.60 meters, 2 meters, for 4 amas. You've got to kosher sukkah, because we'll say that we imagine as if the wall is curled over and carries. But we only say that if the wall actually reaches. The Mishnah Berurah says in two places. If you're going to use the benefit of two halachas, that means you want to say good asik, and then you want to say that not only good asik, you want to imagine that the wall carries on, says the Mishnah Berurah in two places, in the beginning of Tof Reish Lamed Aleph, and in the beginning, and in Tof Reish Lamed Beis, in Kof Mechaf, the Mishnah Berurah says that you can't do that. So now, if a person does have a sukkah like that, so therefore they're going to have a problem if they're going to use Dofen Akuma. So either when you build it, make sure that your schach reaches till almost the end of your kitchen counter, or you'll have to put in some sort of makeshift mechitza, drawing sukkahs. Another issue with that is, and I'm about to go over time, so I'm not going to carry on then, is if you've got an overlap on your sukkah, on your kitchen counter, then you cannot say good asik. Good asik can only be said like these desks are over here, where they finish flush with the desk. But if you have with the countertop. But if they don't finish flush with the countertop, there's an overhang. Good asik is they go straight up. There's a problem which was raised originally in the era of one of the problems that was originally raised. Was this idea that very often along the riverbank, River Brent, we were using one side of the river, and there was coping stones that were overlapping over the wall, and therefore they stopped the good asik. In the end, they got around it very simply by using the other side, but that's not for now. Finally, just to finish off, something which, if somebody does use has a built-in sukkah, and in order to avoid all the problems, they do put in a mechitza. I have a few friends who do that. Put in some sort of mechitza, or put in a Tzeres HaPesach, or something like that, to make it absolutely kosher, or to make it even kosher. If you build that mechitza, There's a Ramah which we came across last week and which I didn't even know about. If you put that machitza in after you've put the schach on, it's no good. Yeah, maybe it's obvious, but you have to have the walls there before you put the schach there. If you put the schach on before you put... Yeah, again, in all these cases, it's very simple. The Eitza is, as David is saying, just push the schach up, pull the schach, push the schach up. But one has to know that. And that is Ramah mentioned in the end of Siman Tofresh Namad Dalet. Now, I've run out of Tofresh Namad Hay. I've run out of time. There are still a few more, but unfortunately, I've run out of time. I wish you a kosher.